Is that better? So if I go backwards to get my coffee. I do need help, believe me. I need a lot of help. Ask anyone that's in my family. So this morning we do have some fruity jokes for you, and I'll tell you why I got to this one after, I can't tell you why first, because then it will reveal all the punchlines. Why did two peaches, or what did two, I guess my last one. What did two peaches make? A pair. That's exactly right. You guys are good. This one's for Bob. What is a turkey's favorite dessert? Peach gobbler. Where do peaches keep their water? In the future. Okay, so yeah, sorry, I know these jokes are very pitiful. So I got into the Bobby just got it. Like half an hour later, Bobby's like, started laughing. The reason behind the peach jokes, I have a story of my favorite banana of all time, right? Which maybe you'll hear that sometime. I'll just leave that for a story. But my favorite peach of all time, and I don't know why, I'm not a big peach fan, but they are wonderful, right? But they are very wonderful. I never really enjoyed them until the other year. Down our lane, there's some peach trees that someone planted. And I was real hot. It was July, end of July, August. It was really hot, and I was mowing the grass. And I looked at the tree, and there's big, juicy. So I stopped the tractor, went up, grabbed one, bit into that thing, and the juice kind of, it was wonderful, right? So it just kind of just filled my mouth with juice, and it was the best peach. So I had like a peach party there by myself, and I was just eating peaches. So every year since then, I can't wait for these peaches to come in. So I've been watching the peach trees this year, and the other week I was mowing, I grabbed one, took a bite of it, still a little bit hard. I was down there yesterday, feeling a little, still a little bit hard, so hopefully the next week or two, does anyone know when peaches come in full systems of being ripe? Okay. And the weather. Well, I'm waiting. Are you waiting? Justin knows better than me. Okay, I eat a couple. Justin goes down and picks them all and makes pies out of them. Oh no, it sticks in there. The peach sticks in there. The fig. Yeah. It's like a stick tighter. You know what a stick tighter is? Okay, well, yeah, we'll get a stick tighter another day. So that's why the story of the peaches. So hopefully they come in shortly because they are wonderful. Yeah, peach pie. Justin, they're putting an order in for a peach pie. Justin's the baker. They'll take it. Yeah, he's the baker. Anyway, put the order in. That's the problem, right? If we're in Mexico, my sister-in-law will have to come in because the birds can get them. The birds will get them pretty good. So that's where the turkeys like to roost to make their peach gobbler. Yeah? All right, well, this morning, let's just pray this morning. Father, Lord, we thank you, God, for our company. We thank you for a family of believers to come together, to be here, to worship you, coming from all aspects of our life here, go through in different areas, age groups, and Lord, we're here together just to worship you. And Lord, help us this morning as we open your word, look at what you have showed humanity throughout history of who you are. Help us to do that, trust that, and worship you, and uphold your name of who you are, and the deity, the creative, and supreme being that you are. Thank you, Lord, for this time. And just speak to us. Help your spirit speak to us. Lord, we also do pray for our community. We pray for our families that are searching for a church. We pray for 10 families, Lord, in this church that want to worship the minister and learn the testimony. We need to pray for 10 families. As we said that the other day, we need to remember. See, that's my prayer. My prayer is for 10 families. 10 families that we're looking for family to grow with, hear this. That's been my prayer. But this morning, I'm not talking about evangelism when I'm talking about that right now. But as I mentioned before, we've been going through the doctrine of the church, and this morning, if you've ever pulled out your bylaws and constitution of this church, we're looking at number 3 this morning, section of Jesus Christ. And I want to just look at who Jesus Christ was, who Jesus Christ is. And it comes down to, it's going to be this week and next week, because the last couple weeks we've pinpointed on, how do we know what this word said, that Scripture tells us this is God-breathed document, that these are the words of God, and we went through the prophecy and where things fall in line. We know this to be that the Bible, God's word, is the truth. Part of the reason why we had to nail that down so we can tell people, so we know, and we've heard before, so go to the next part. Because if the Bible had some questions to it, and we weren't sure of the validity of the Bible being by God, then what we talked about today, about who Jesus Christ is, well, that could be questionable. If this wasn't true, we didn't have the foundation of God in Scripture, then what we know about Jesus Christ comes into question. And this book, the Bible, tells us what about Christ. We have salvation in Jesus Christ. There's no question. We're firm in our foundation of our everlasting life. Right? That's what Scripture tells us. So today we're going to look at the deity of Christ. And then next week we're going to look at the Messiah part of Jesus being the Messiah. We're going to look at this week is the deity. The deity of Christ. So a deity is what? A deity is three beings, a divine status, controller of everything. A God. That's the deity. So we need to know and look at Jesus Christ as the deity, as God. We look at this man, we know on the cross, ministry, but we need to be firm. Scripture says of the deity that Jesus was God. So that's what we're looking at this morning. With the prophecy. A prophecy of who Jesus Christ is. You got 5:2. Open up or you can listen. Micah 5:2. So, this is what we know. The prophet Micah, there's other Micahs in Scripture, but this is specifically from the prophet Micah, who says this in Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origin are from of old, from ancient times. Now, there's a two-fold thing here happening on the prophecy from Micah. And I'm using the NIV in King James. It talks about the everlasting. In the Greek translation of the word here, it's the same exact thing, everlasting, ancient. Ancient time, everlasting, it's the same Greek word or Hebrew word talking about God, which Jesus Christ is. So Micah was a prophet, and we know the prophets, they're in the Bible here, prophets' words came true. These words, God acted upon these men's words that God gave them, the words of prophecy, and they're not in this scripture unless they were fulfilled. And we find from Micah that these are fulfilled. In 700 years before Christ, Micah, the prophet, gave the prophecy of Jesus being born where? In Bethlehem. And there's other Bethlehem, but they pinpointed the exact Bethlehem that Jesus Christ would be born, Micah 5:2. Talks about that. We're not going to jump into a lot of that prophecy of Jesus being born. We're going to see that more next week. And that he would be the ruler of Israel. But then we get down to this portion of the prophet, of the prophecy, whose origin, talking about Jesus Christ being born in Bethlehem, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times, or / everlasting. The beginning of the world. That's what that Hebrew word means. The everlasting one. The one that was here. The one that was the creator of the world. It's all wrapped up in this Micah 2. One of the cool things about Micah, if you look at Micah, we don't know much about Micah. He's a prophet. And they think he was a smaller town, like rural communities. He didn't get a whole lot into the politics of Israel at the time. But one of the cool things is Micah is the only prophet that another prophet, Jeremiah. And Jeremiah actually references the prophet, the same prophet. So 700 years before Christ, Micah, talks about Jesus Christ being born in Bethlehem, talks about Jesus Christ being the ruler of Israel, about then his origin, the deity of who Jesus Christ was and is. So where did Jesus originate from? I've heard this many times. We've talked about it before. So now we're going to look at it and break it down. Micah gives the answer. Where did he come from? And then we roll back in. You know, he's from old, ancient times. But then from the New Testament, we go back and look and see where Jesus came from. And the origins in Colossians 1, starting in verse 15. I'm going to read these through. Here from Paul. Colossians 1, 15. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. Speaking of Jesus, created by him, created by Jesus. By him and for him, in him all things hold together. I'm sorry, I jumped over. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, in Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Why is it so important we talked about last week, we talked about the deconstruction. We talked about, and Satan's been constructing this whole plan of Jesus Christ, the salvation of Christ, and, God is for centuries. So we know that that deconstruction has been taking place, And if today, he's talking about it here, and he pulls it out. What was going on in Paul's day, there is the doctrine of demiurge. Have you ever heard of that? So what was going on in philosophy? They were teaching in the church that Jesus Christ, it was like a multi-level deal, if you think about it. It was Jesus Christ was created by God, and then Jesus Christ created things. And it was this whole concept that God was the supreme being, and he created Jesus, and then created somebody else, and then just after Jesus, his next creation was created, and then this other thing was created, and all these going down the line, all these things were created. And that was kind of the teaching. And it makes sense, I think, because they were the time of Greek, the Greek people, there's gods, but the Greek people had multiple gods. So in their mind, what they taught was, well, there's God, and then, well, Jesus Christ is not really God, but he's created by God, and then these other things took place, and all these gods were underneath God. So that's what Paul was back to say, no. Jesus Christ, he's the, verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God. The firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created. So Paul's stepping back and cleaning the slate here to this whole philosophy that Jesus Christ wasn't God, that Jesus Christ was a creation by God. Does that make sense? Everybody where that was taking place? The multi-level marketing. When I was in college, the big thing was Amway. Remember Amway? Everyone did Amway. And then I was in college one time, and this guy said, hey, can we have a meeting? Can we get together and have a business conference? I never heard of Amway up until that. And these guys were like, oh, well, if you get in this, you can sell this, and then if you come under me, that, like, they're creating their platform of sales so they all make money, right? That's the multi-level chain of, hey, it was working for you. That's what they were talking about here. It's like there's this multi-level marketing of God. It was God was the top, and the front, and they philosophized that Jesus then was created by God, and then Jesus created all these other things. Paul said, no, that's not how it works. Jesus Christ, at the beginning, was with God. He is God. Jesus is in the form of man, but he is God. And the reason why we need to have that and understand that is this. If Jesus Christ was just a prophet, just a good man, and he died for us, good man died for us, right? If Jesus Christ was not the deity that Scripture says he was, how could we have salvation? Because human sin is based upon our relationship with the supreme being, God. So we have sinned. Humanity has sinned. We're in this sinful state. The only way that our sins can be forgiven from the supreme God is by the supreme being of Jesus Christ, the supremacy of God, the deity, if he would put the shot. Only Jesus can say your sins are forgiven. If Jesus was as the deity, as the creator, because we are in sin, so if Jesus is just a good guy, hey, he's a good guy. He died on the cross, but he was just a creator. creation by the Supreme Being. Well, how can we have our sins forgiven if he wasn't the deity to authorize that? Does that make sense? If he wasn't the authority, how could our sins be forgiven? They couldn't. So as Jesus as the authority, the deity, one as God is one, Jesus came, paid the price, and all through Scripture, he talks about he is God's Son. He is one with God. He was the deity. He was the Messiah to come. Not just the Messiah, because we know it from the Messiah. Moses is the Messiah. Moses, what? Because a Messiah is a leader or a deliverer of a group of people. So Moses, was he the Messiah, the Savior of all the world? No. But he'd say he was a Messiah in a sense of who? The Jewish people to come out of Egypt. So he delivered them. He was the deliverer from the Jews out of Egypt. And the Jews followed Moses and the law. Obviously, he was a prophet and he was told by God what to do. But was he the deity? No, he wasn't the deity. Moses couldn't offer eternal salvation to anybody. Moses could offer, I'll deliver you because God told me to do this. I'm authorized by God and I can deliver you out of Egypt and I can go in front of Pharaoh and all this. But could he cleanse their sin? He could not cleanse them. So without Jesus Christ being the deity, the God, as the creator, that is the only way we can have our sins forgiven. It's Jesus Christ, God Himself, the deity of God. That's what we need to remember, because what goes on, and we see it today, and Micah saw it 700 years before Christ. We get him to read about him in the book of Micah. And he prophesies about where Jesus would be born, who Jesus was, that he was the everlasting, he was the ancient one, he was the creator. That's who Micah speaks about of Jesus, the Messiah to come, but as the deity. Without that, we're nothing. But the same thing was happening at the time of Micah. The day of Micah, 700 years before Christ, all the sin that was taken that we have today was also taking place there for this prophet. And his heart was broken for his country because they were living in sin. They totally lost the concept of who God was as the creator. Today, they find that. So we have our society today, we have crime, we have post-Christian society, people that have walked away from the knowledge of Jesus Christ, people that don't even know who Jesus is. They don't even know what a Bible is. They don't know the simple stories of Scripture. A friend of mine, his friends, sister-in-law, brother-in-law, missionaries in Canada. Canada! This happened like 5 years ago. Maybe, yeah, 5, 7 years ago. They were missionaries, planted a church in Canada. The son was in school, and if they wanted to, because they were new to the school, and they said, well, why did you move to Canada? I said, well, my dad's a pastor, and they said, what's that? In Canada! The kid didn't even know what a pastor was, didn't even know what a church was, living in the dark of Scripture. So when we look at these things taking place in our society, we need to, and then we try to tell people about Jesus. They don't get it. They don't understand, because they don't understand, number one, why somebody would want to die for them. Number two, of Jesus as being a God, well, they, there's so many gods in their mind, or no gods at all. So there's this whole concept that Jesus, being a deity, could come down to earth in the form of a man, and that what happens through Jesus, that we can have salvation. There's such a disconnect. And in the churches, especially here, many of you brought up in the church, me included, my entire life, I've heard the story of the gospel. I've heard the story of creation. I've heard the story of Noah. I hear the story of David. We've read the story of David's life to our kids for years, and then passed to our kids to their grandkids, and generation after generation. In the church, we hear. In the church, we hear. We hear about the deity of Jesus Christ. We hear about the Messiah. We talk about the prophetic word from Micah. In the church, we get it. We understand. And they sometimes understand. Sometimes churches are all bound as well. But there's an understanding there of who Jesus Christ was. Outside of the church, Paul's day, when he's talking about the philosophies that were taking place of who Jesus Christ was, they had no clue, and that's where we're at today. Same thing is happening inside of Micah. Our world hasn't changed, right? We're still a lost society. Same thing we talked about, we had the discussion here just briefly about the time of Noah. Same thing there. Sin is rampant. We know that. What we have to continue to remind ourselves through our doctrine, churches can't improve. Any type of doctrine, because if we do, then we run a Bible. That's what happens in churches, if we lose track of who the deity, who Jesus Christ is, or any type of firm doctrine that is planted on inspiration of Scripture. But in Colossians, then, what do we find? And through him and through Jesus, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace. So Jesus came to make peace out through his blood shed on the cross. Jesus, as without being his blood, then, that was nothing, would have it. Our sinful state as humanity had the opportunity, which we all had the opportunity to come to salvation. We all had the opportunity to come to Christ. We all had the opportunity after we die to go to heaven. But not everybody chooses that. But the peace that comes through Jesus' blood is there for all. Anyone that chooses to believe in the deity and in Christ Jesus, that's how we get salvation. That's what the world doesn't understand. That's where, when we talk about deconstructionism, some of that isn't deconstructionism now, because they don't understand the blood of Jesus Christ. They don't understand the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Because they don't understand that Jesus Christ was in fact God. And that's where some of the things that they don't understand are kids. Your kids and your grandkids. Great grandkids. They don't have great grandkids. I don't have any great grandkids. Rob, you have great grandkids? Yeah. But that, we have our society that doesn't understand the doctrine of Jesus Christ. We need to make sure we understand the doctrine of Jesus Christ as church, as people in the church, that Jesus Christ was 100% deity, 100% in control, was 100% God. Someone just said, a church, a local church, a good church, They just told me that someone said, well, you can't preach on that. What are you talking about? You can't, they weren't allowed to preach on the supreme God, that God is in control. What are you doing? You know, they had some discussion if they did what he wanted to hear. Well, God didn't tell him, yeah, he didn't. But there's people in the church telling him, well, you can't say God is in control. That he didn't. Well, what is that? Because we know God is in control. As believers, we hold to the fact that God as the deity, Jesus Christ as the deity, is in control. We might not like what goes on. We might go through problems. We all know, we all do. Things are out of our control. They're in control. We try to control things, but we can't control salvation. Not one of us can control the salvation other than we accept. That's the only control we have. Because Jesus Christ, being the deity of God, the supreme being, Jesus Christ, dying on the cross, he controls the mechanism. He controls that opportunity. He controls that method of forgiveness. He controls our soul entering into heaven. That's the fact, that Jesus Christ is deity. Jesus is God, creator of the world, as we saw in, once again, I'll read it. Verse 16. For by him, by Jesus Christ, all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth. So all things were created by God, by Jesus. In heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things, everything, were created by him and for him. If we hold to this Bible as being God's word, inspired by God, then what Paul says here to the Colossians is truth. And we know that Paul was what? Paul was an apostle. The church, what they did to confirm this word as being God's word and inspired. We know the story of the apostles. We know the story of many of the prophets and killed and murdered for the sake of God's word to come to us. We need to hold that same thing. We need to promote. We need to continue to speak. We need to continue to tell others of who Jesus Christ is, the true deity of who Christ is, of Christ. Lord, so many times I really don't understand you. Because you're so, you're number one, Lord, I don't know why you love humanity so much. I know you do, and I know you love our souls, and you want us to be with you, and you want us to come to you, and you're giving yourself up for us. And so many times, we as people in humanity just turn our back on you, and we do our own thing, and we don't care, and it's just all about ourselves, and all this other stuff works out. So many times, Lord, I really don't understand why you love us so much, right? But I get, I know that you do. I just don't understand why you want to love us. We're such a filthy person. But Lord, I do thank you that you do love us. I thank you for the deity in Christ Jesus, that he was willing to come from heaven, come from all the authority to be butchered here on earth for us, for his blood to be spilled for us. It's an amazing thing that we try to figure out. Lord, help us here to know, and help us to look at the souls just the same way you look at our souls. That you look past our wickedness, and you look past our hate, and you look past our thoughts, because you look at our souls, and you know that our souls are going to be dead one day, in this body, and we have the heaven and hell as one of them. Lord, help us to look at people that same way. Help us to look at people as a soul. That they're here today and gone tomorrow, and help us look at tomorrow where that soul is being. Help me to continue to look at that. You know, I get caught up in so much stuff with business and projects and all this other stuff that I have going on. But Lord, help me to continue to also look at people's souls. That's our job. Give us a desire for people's souls, to minister to people's souls, to speak who you are to people's souls. Help the Spirit speak through us to other people, that people can see that there's a difference in us that comes from you. Give us that wisdom, Lord. I pray for that. I pray for that for this one person. And if it's one person, if it's 50 people, it's totally up to the Lord. Just help us to minister and look at souls the way you did. Lord, I thank you for this time that we can be here together. Help us as we begin to leave, we go out and have some more fellowship, and help us to concentrate and maybe speak on your goodness. Lord, I pray for that. Yes, correct.